you would, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. Lord, we're here at this point in your service once again to look at your word. And Lord, as we've spent time in James over the past month, I can't help but believe there's been conviction. There have been what we call aha moments. There have been times when you've spoken to us in ways we didn't expect. We ask that as we spend time today looking in your scripture, that you will reveal to us with clarity the truth of what it has to say. God, I pray you will use me as your servant, and that in this time that we have together in hearing your scripture, it also becomes an opportunity to continue to genuinely worship you, to come and bow before you, acknowledging that even in our imperfections, we are called to serve you, to give you glory and honor and praise. So, Lord, we seek to do that with all that we have at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like for you to try to do something with me. I'm going to start sharing a scripture verse, and I'd like for you to fill in the next word after I pause. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against this, there is no such law. Well, I said I was preaching on patience, but today I believe we're going to see how peace and patience are related. So if you pay close attention, I bet you'll get a two-for-one special today. As a pastor, I've had few people come to me with the need to discuss or a desire to discuss the need for patience. More likely, people recognize when someone else needs patience and have had many conversations with me about that. Now, there's a good reason for this. When someone is impatient, they see a problem outside of themselves, a problem that needs to be addressed, and they don't believe that it's being done in a timely manner, and therefore they feel a need to do something about it. This is typically a description of what it means to be impatient. As I was preparing for this and just studying and looking, I came across it wasn't by any means a religious or theological explanation, but I saw this and it resonated with me. It said, others who see a person they consider impatient categorize them often as arrogant, insensitive, impulsive, poor decision makers, a person quick to judge or interrupt other people, and someone in need of help. Have you ever seen someone that was impatient and think any of these things about them? Now, as believers, I don't think God desires us to judge people in this way. In fact, I know that He doesn't. But I think we're to be aware of how someone, particularly ourselves, might unintentionally come across just because we're impatient. So, not many people have asked me about how to have more patience, but lots of people have talked to me about wanting more peace in their life. I've come to realize that this desire for peace can be directly related to a need for patience. So let's ask ourselves another question. How many of us could use more peace in our lives? Is it possible that peace just might be a byproduct of being willing to embrace patience? As I prepared for the message, I also came across a description of what being impatient can do, what it can cause to happen to us. And these are just a list of some things. Being impatient can cause you to make poor decisions that affect your health and your happiness. It can waste your time. It can put you under a lot of stress. Being impatient can affect your relationships in a very negative way. Being impatient can cause you to feel self-doubt and decrease your confidence level. Impatience often makes you feel downright horrible. Impatience can even put your life in danger. So the Bible tells us patience is a fruit of the Spirit. All too often we miss this as something that we may not be great at. We may not have that much patience, and it's really not a big deal. But I hope these instructions, what we're seeing again in James in the Scripture today, helps us realize that there's so much truth here. It's relevant to us in a very practical way. So I ask you now, and nobody needs to answer out loud, but I invite you to go here in your mind, that you will be honest with yourself. What are the things that you are impatient about? And these can be big things or small things. But what are the things you're impatient about? Here are just a few examples. Maybe you're impatient about traffic. Anybody ever had that? Maybe you're impatient when it comes to teaching someone else how to do something because you just want them to be able to do it like that. Maybe you're impatient when it comes to regaining your health. Maybe you're impatient when someone is being too slow getting ready for church in the morning and it's making you a little bit late. Maybe at times we try to pray and we get impatient with God's lack of answering us in the way or the time that we desire. But you know, I want to go back and think about it. What can these types of impatience result in? If we're impatient with traffic, we've seen incidences where impatience can cause accidents or road rage. When you're impatient when it comes to teaching or showing someone else how to do something, it can lead to giving up. It can lead to the person that you're trying to lead and getting frustrated and giving up. It can lead to you giving up and trying to do it. It can result in you having to follow through and do it. And maybe you can do a better job than they can, but you know what? It means they aren't going to get to learn from you how to do it. It means you probably will have more work in the long run and may eventually lead to burnout. Having patience is not easy, but it's most often worthwhile. In terms of being impatient when it comes to regaining your health back, how many times have you known of someone who had a surgery done or had something happen and the doctor said, you have to rest, you have to stay off of it, you have to... And people know that it's the doctor. They paid the doctor lots of money to do what they did and to tell them what they told, and then they don't listen. And it can end up resulting in going right back to where we were to start. But it's difficult because we're impatient, because we feel like we can do something, so we want to get up and do it. And somebody being too slow can lead to frustration, can lead to harsh words, and if you do end up making it to church often, you may not be in a place to really hear what God has to say. And it doesn't just happen when you're getting ready for church. And then when it comes to listening to God and being impatient about that, we tend to give God, we say we're going to give God what we're supposed to and allow Him to take control and allow Him to lead. But when it doesn't start happening in the way we want, we said we're going to give it to God, but we give it to God with an expiration date. That if you haven't done it by this time, God, I'm going to take it back and do it my way. How does that usually turn out for us? So, I want us to now look specifically at the Scripture. In verse 7, we begin hearing something about waiting. And so I entitled this part of what I'm talking about. How long do I wait? And how much is waiting, patience really about waiting? In James verse 7, it tells us believers were to wait for the Lord's coming. That's a long time to wait. But this has a dual meaning. And first, if you look back, and you can skim it. I'm not going to take time to read it all. But if you look back at verses 1 through 5, there's something happening here. James has just finished talking about the rich oppressors and how they've been abusive, including their abuse to God's people. So he gets through that, and then in verse 7, he quickly turns to God's people. And it seems like if you were considering how this was going to be written, the next thing that would come in this scripture would be outrage at what has been done to God's people. But instead, there is encouragement to God's people to have patience and allow God to have his place in this situation. While the cure for injustices will not be taken care of completely until Christ returns. And so in that sense, we're waiting for Christ's return in terms of the second coming. God does show himself and exerts his will in the midst of our situations daily. So there's also a sense in which we wait for God's coming into a situation instead of taking care of it ourselves. But we must have the discipline to wait on the Lord's coming. Here are a couple of descriptions I ran across in terms of what it means to be patient. The first one, it said, patience is an exercise of self-control that shows you can handle life when times get tough. It's having the ability to look outside of yourself. What does that look like, to look outside of yourself? We live in a world where I think it tries to teach us and direct us not to do that. That we're supposed to pay more attention to our struggles and what's going on and figure out how to fix it. And in the midst of that, we just don't pay attention to the bigger picture of what we're involved with and what's going on. There's another way, and I really like this one. What it means to have patience, it says, stop watering the tree and wait. I don't know where that originated. I wish it did. And I'm curious. I'd like to have a conversation with you, Robert, how this all fits in sometime or another to plants and all this. But to stop watering the tree and wait. Now think about it. Somebody has planted a tree, and they are ready for that tree to go. How long is it going to take that tree to grow to maturity? It's going to take a long time, depending on what type of tree it is and what you how you define maturity. It's going to take a while. But there are people that may, in planting that tree, won't want results pretty immediately, and they know one way to take care of that tree and to help it grow and to make it grow is to water it. So they decide they're just going to stand there and keep putting water on it until it grows as high as it's supposed to. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But there are times when that's how we deal with what we want to happen in our lives. Now, the other side of that is, in terms of waiting, does it mean, okay, I've got to wait, so I water a little bit and I just walk away and then it grows up? No, that doesn't happen either, because the tree does need to continue to receive water of some kind. You don't just do it once and forget it. You need to pay attention in the way that it needs the attention. And so when there are things that we're facing in life, there are times that we don't necessarily understand what's needed in the big picture, but God does. And I want to suggest something else too. Waiting is not the same as wasting time. When we're waiting, God will usually also call us to be about something else. So, for example, if you're waiting in the way you're supposed to water the tree or feed the tree, whatever it is it's going to need, does that mean you just sit on a stool and wait till it's time to water the tree again? Or do you go about doing other things in your life? And the same is true with the lives that we live. Waiting is often an exercise in growing and understanding and coming to realize who God calls us to be, and a lot of times what the process of what it takes to reach that maturity of whatever it is we're waiting for benefits us so much more than actually the destination that we're striving to arrive at. So, the next one that Linda sort of foreshadowed for me is don't grumble. If we look again at the scripture, I'll go back and start at verse 7 and read down to it so we get the full context. Verse 7, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's come, and show how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Here's some more practical wisdom. First, it's human nature to be annoyed, frustrated, angry with people who you view as the source of your impatience, the reason you're getting frustrated and annoyed, the car in front of you who's in the fast lane driving 10 miles an hour less than what it is. You would understand getting frustrated with that. How often, though, does it help to respond in a negative way? Almost never. But you know, that's really not what James is talking about here. There's something else here. He's talking about the reactions of God's people, not to the ones who have oppressed them, but to God's people, to each other. Why did he do that right there? He went, he's talked about the oppression, he's talked about be patient with them, and all of a sudden he's saying, but don't grumble. And he didn't say don't grumble about the people who you're angry at. He said don't grumble with who? Each other. Have you ever been in a situation where traffic was annoying you and you said something that was just not in a nice tone to the person sitting in the seat beside of you? Or is it just Christy and I that have only ever had that experience? See, it's practical. It happens. Scripture is relevant to our life today, and God wants us to understand it. If we don't pay attention, that impatience will lead to division, to discord, to frustration, to arguments, to anger, to things that Satan wants to do to tear us apart as the body of Christ. And that happens, it happens, I dare say, with every family represented here today in your own families. But it also happens in our workplace. It happens in our church. It happens in this church. And it's one of the tools of Satan. So when we start talking about impatience, it's not something to brush off lightly, to say it's no big deal, it's just the way I am. Or when you start wanting peace, to understand that peace isn't something that you just ask for and it happens, but it may very well be related to the way that we respond to situations around us. The song that we sang, right after you gave the example, the glass half full song. Blessed be your name. The description I have, if you look in your bulletin, the next one is persevere and be blessed. God desires to bless us. But it requires us, like we sang in that song, to bless his name, to acknowledge who God is and how he desires to be a part of what's going on. Struggles, challenges, pain, and suffering are all a part of life. No one will escape it. But how we choose to deal with it will say a lot about who we are and what kind of relationship we have with God. I want to give you examples of two current people today. One of, well, she's passed away. The first one, my aunt. I had to interview her when I was in high school. She lived through the Depression era. And when I went to interview her, she was in literally the poorest house I'd ever stepped in. It was old. There just wasn't much there. She spent the majority of her time out on the front porch. There weren't that much comforts inside the house. She had just a rocking chair on the front porch, and that's where she stayed the majority of the time. And I sat there and talked to her, and from the time I got there until the time I left, she had a smile on her face. And she told me over and over again, she was a believer, and she told me about the blessings that God gave her throughout her life. Not once did I hear her complain. And she probably had less than any person I had ever met up until that point. She was blessed. She persevered, and God blessed her, but she also knew and understand who God was in her life. There's another person, and it's a person that's in our community. And you wouldn't necessarily know this, but he grew up in a really difficult situation, and probably what we would consider a horrible situation in terms of family life. He only made it through the 9th grade, but you wouldn't know this by the way he carries himself, by the way he embraces his career, not as something simply a means to an end, but something that he loves and enjoys. Even the way he treats his employees, the people that work under him. In fact, he's never had that conversation with me. I found out about it secondhand. But what he has told me, he's told me over and over, Greg, I am blessed. I am blessed. And this makes a difference. It not only makes a difference in him, and I have rarely seen him when he didn't have a smile on his face, but I have gotten to know him well enough to know he has plenty of reason to be upset, to grumble, to be frustrated. But I can tell you, I love being around this man. And a lot of other people do too. And you know what else I recognize about him? He does as much, if not more, than anybody else I know to help other people with their struggles. And remember that definition where it talked about being able to think outside of yourself? That's what being patient and being able to embrace peace in the midst of a situation that yearns for impatience is all about. What is God's message to you this morning? Are you seeking peace, not knowing that what you really need is patience? Has God shown you how your grumbling and misdirected frustrations are generating discord and division among people you love and care about? If so, are there steps God desires you to take to do about it? Do you know that in the midst of struggle you're facing, you just don't have the strength to continue and you need someone greater to help you persevere? Jesus has given everything so that we can have it all. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take time to come to the Lord's table. God desires you to have peace. God doesn't desire us to live in the midst of our struggles, our challenges, our frustrations, all of the things that every single one of us have, and most of us have experienced it this past week and will experience it again this week. But God desires us to be able to face those struggles in a way that reflects not impatience, but the peace that He desires to give us. And that peace then becomes a reflection for other people who are also in the midst of those challenges and struggles. So instead of the impatience causing discord and division, patience generates peace, which generates unity and helpfulness and togetherness. That's what God desires for us today, wherever we may go. And He makes that possible because as humanly, if you think about it, the things you've been through, and I tell you, if you're not a believer, you can't just hear this and decide that you've got the ability to fix that. You don't. We don't. None of us do. It's because of who God is, and because God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die on a cross. And in dying on that cross, He shed His blood. He was crucified because of how much He loved us. And He wants to bless us. Will you receive the blessing God has to give you? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that'll be the first place to start. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward. And we're going to have communion. I don't know if all the musicians are playing or just Pat, how that's going to, what y'all plan on doing. But whoever's going to play during communion.